On today's episode, high MSRP, Japan has an answer, and it's environmentally friendly too. Today's episode is brought to you by Engineering.com, a globally trusted source for engineering content. Check out this and many other exclusive videos for the engineering professional found only on Engineering.com TV today. As sales cool in the automotive industry for both internal combustion engine and electric vehicles, the mass media are just getting around the elephant in the room, price. Now, I've only bought one new car in my life, a Fox Mustang, and to justify that purchase, I still own that car. So I'm baffled at the cost justification for buying new vehicles. Unless, of course, you're one of those individuals that absolutely needs reliable transportation and isn't interested in picking up a wrench on a Saturday morning to keep it running. Now, I know that's most people, but the average transaction price for new vehicle purchase in America is now well over $40,000. And interest rates for financing vehicles, depending on your FICO score, could be bumping up on double digits. Now, my baseline for financing a new vehicle purchase always assumes that such an owner would buy the extended warranty and then finance it so that it's paid for at roughly the same time that the warranty expires to avoid any nasty surprises. Now, that usually means 4, perhaps 5 years at the outside, which means that for even an ordinary new car or light truck today, the monthlies are going to exceed $1,000 a month. Now, that's one heck of a car payment, but if you're a frugal kind of man or woman, what you won't find is a low-cost, simple commuter car that a young person, college kid, or senior citizen could buy just to get around, and they used to be common. The Hyundai Accent, the Honda Fit, these were small and simple vehicles that had a lineage that goes way back to the 50s with the original Volkswagen Beetle. Simple, cheap cars meant that people with modest incomes could still have reliable wheels, and they've essentially disappeared. Now, most automakers don't even have offerings like this in America anymore, and companies like Volkswagen have chosen to move up market where the returns are higher. Now, everyone is doing this now, and the result has been an increase in demand for used cars. Now, the mathematics of this system aren't sustainable because to have an adequate supply of used cars for the large number of people that don't have the income for a new one, someone has to buy new cars to feed that pipeline. Now, fleet buyers used to be a major source of this supply from car rental agencies and also manufacturer lease programs. But for many American families, one vehicle has to serve many purposes. So as a result, they're limited to the capability they need in the worst case scenario. This means that many, many people are driving vehicles that are much larger, heavier, and more powerful than they need for daily commuting to suit the occasional hauling or towing or passenger carrying duties that happen on weekends or vacations. Now, once in Japan, I had the opportunity to drive what the Japanese call a K car. A very small displacement mini car. I drove a Honda Life Dunk Turbo, and yes, that's what it's called, and discovered that the little machine was more than adequate for any kind of daily driving task that almost anyone would want. Now, with some 600 cc's of displacement, the machine would naturally be very economical and emit minimal CO2 as well. But you aren't going to haul a couple of jet skis and all three kids with it. So I did a little thought experiment. What if instead of endless EPA and DOT regulations and automakers to attempt to make large and heavy automobiles emit as little pollution as possible, just what if government passed a simple law? Every license plate is actually two plates, an A plate and a B plate. And every insurance policy covers a primary vehicle and automatically includes a micro car like those Japanese K cars. Same premiums, but they automatically include the mini car. Then pull the extensive regulations that exclude microcars from the American market. No ABS brakes, no stability control, no airbags. And while you're at it, remove all the electronic accessories like power windows and locks as well. I suspect you could possibly get the MSRP down into the $10,000 range for a vehicle like this, making it very possible and practical for every family to have a giant SUV and an efficient low emissions runabout in the same driveway. People of modest means or simple needs could just buy the K car itself. People that absolutely need a Yukon XL could pick up a K car for not much more than the tax on the SUV purchase and have an extra family vehicle that would be ideal for shopping, commuting, or sending your kid to college. And I can imagine an extrapolation of this system like those Russian Matryoshka dolls. Buy a small K car and get a dual-use plate insurance policy that includes a 250cc or smaller scooter in the deal. If the weather is nice and the destination isn't too far, leave the car at home and take the Vespa. Now, America's facing an automotive MSRP crisis, and there are only two ways to solve it. A wave of offshore, low-cost product, likely from China, or an altered regulatory regime to allow the sale of greatly simplified, much lower-priced new cars. Now, having driven those cars in Japan, I can say without doubt, they work. So let's have them. Well, that's it for today's audio version of End of the Line, brought to you by Engineering.com. If you like this podcast, subscribe to Engineering.com to get personalized story recommendations, follow topics you care about, and participate with the global engineering community. You can also watch this podcast as a video along with our other exclusive series only on engineering.com TV. Thanks for tuning in.